What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We're the green girls today.
We're green with
We're
envy.
So green. If you're watching on YouTube, get a load of this green.
Yeah, maybe you don't see us because it's a green screen.
But if you're listening as a podcast, you're like, what the fuck are you
talking about? We don't care. Move on.
No, here's what we're saying. We're both wearing green.
Yeah, we're green girlies. We didn't even plan to match up like this.
To be so green.
We're so simpatico.
So green.
So green. Happy Tuesday. It is only Tuesday, but it is a short week because it's July 4th. So thank God for that. So it's making it quite bearable, quite digestible.
And you know what? I'm so busy this week that I actually don't even have time to like ruminate on what day it is. And it's one of those weeks where I hate to be one of those people, but there's just like not enough time.
Oh my God. There's plenty of time.
No. Like I'm so booked and busy today that it being early in the week actually allows me to potentially get everything done that I need to get done.
I feel that. Do you have no time to lament?
Yeah, because I'm doing podcast. Book club, meetings, spray tan.
To piggyback off of that, speaking of podcast, we have a very special announcement today. So I just dropped an episode on Shannon Ford's podcast. She interviewed me. It was super fun. This was like a few weeks ago. And we announced on there that Shannon is joining TNN for the second season of her podcast. She's wrapping up the first season now, and the second season comes out at the end of the summer. And starting then, she will officially be a TNN girly, you know, mogul energy radiating.
Mogul supporting moguls.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Shannon is so premium. Like, her podcasts are so good. She does them all on video and audio.
And she, like, is always to the nines,
glammed up.
She's just one of those people who is beautiful on the inside and the outside. She's so interesting. She's born to podcast.
Her podcast
is so good when she's been on this show, or even just like her Instagram stories. Everything she does is premium, and I can't think of a better home than TNN.
You know what, actually, you just reminded me of something. When we had all those guest co-hosts come when you were on maternity leave, our most listened to guest co-host episode was Shannon. So like, the toasters crave Shannon. Shannon craves the toasters. And now it's just a gorgeous blend of Shannon toaster energy.
Yeah, I started listening to your podcast episode this morning. It was so good. And I listened as a podcast instead of watching, because I was like getting ready. So I was just being like a podcast.
An audio girl,
as so many of you are out there. And it's really a premium experience. But I was just like loving her, like admitting that she's obsessed with us. And it's like, if only she, like, I know that you told her how obsessed you are.
I know.
But I don't think she understands.
No, like, normalize acknowledging being obsessed with people, because like, more often than not, like, the feeling is mutual. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah, but I do feel like sometimes people like overuse that trope. Like, I'm obsessed with you. And it's like, there's a difference between that, whatever that is, and how we feel about Shannon.
No, I literally replied to every single one of her Instagram stories. Hey, where's that dress from? Like, as if I could wear the same dress as fucking Shannon Ford. She's 6 feet tall. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, are you in the city? I'm like, I'm a freak.
You know, when I see she's in New York, I'm like giddy.
I'm like, good. Oh, a text should be coming.
I'm like, this is great for New York.
And now we have her in our grasp.
Yeah.
And she can never let go.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. And then also, speaking of book club, I wanted to tell you that. So I finished the book that you selected for the Redheads on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you're recording the episode today, and it comes out Thursday, right?
Yeah. July 7th, though. Like, oh, the first Thursday of July. Why? Because I was actually thinking about dropping it. The Redheads, you know, we are like death and taxes. You can always rely that we'll be there. Just every once in a while. It's the second Thursday of the month. But, you know, things happen.
But they push back tax day sometimes.
Thank you.
Every once in a while, COVID.
Every once in a while. Like, when there's something really big and the girls, like, can't find a day,
right,
that works.
Course.
We're four people with four very busy schedules.
Of course.
But because we're recording the episode early and it is a holiday weekend, like, and people have read the book or are reading the book over the weekend, like, maybe it's something that you need to take with you into the weekend, and like, maybe we'll bump it up.
So I thought it was coming out this Thursday, and I wasn't going to read another book until then, because like, I find it confusing. Like, sometimes I read a book and then I read another one and that previous book is just gone in my memory.
So you wanted to listen to the episode?
On Thursday.
Well, regardless of when it drops officially, I can always send it to you.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Because I really want to experience, like, in real time,
yeah,
the Redhead's effect, because I'm always, you know, 2 years late to the party.
I will send it to you when we're done with it, but I was thinking about dropping it early, so let me know what you think about that idea.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was how we literally turned into the number one mental health podcast on the planet yesterday. I cannot tell you how many messages I got from two groups of people, mostly from people who have had intrusive thoughts and were like so embarrassed and petrified to ever admit it out loud.
Yeah.
And like not even seek therapy because they thought they would be diagnosed as like a serial killer.
Right.
When it's actually so normal.
Yeah.
And I guess I realized I don't think I was ever comfortable about talking about my intrusive thoughts until my friend Abe mentioned one that he had that was so like my brain. I was like, how do you know that? And then he was like, no, my therapist told me it's like so common. So now I feel like cool talking about it. But if you ever had them and you don't know what it is, like,
you're like, I'm a horrible, scary person.
Right. Like thinking about like throwing your newborn baby down the stairs. Like,
yeah, that's what I've seen. Also, I thought when people were saying intrusive thoughts, they just meant like, you know, general anxiety, worrying about the world, the worst possible things that can happen. But that's not that.
No.
Intrusive thoughts are the ones that just like, you know, you're having a lovely moment and they just like come out of nowhere and it's like the worst thing you could do. And it's also like you acting, not something happening.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm really glad I brought it up because I feel like a lot of people yesterday on the podcast had that moment that I had with my friend Abe like years ago. Yeah. So it's totally
even
normal.
I had that moment where I'm like, oh, that's what intrusive thoughts are. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you're not crazy. Thank God.
Yeah.
Also, the second group of people I got a lot of messages from were like micro influencers being like, thank you so much for this segment on influencers. Like, I had a lot of tagged in stories of like people with like, you know, under 20,000 followers just being like, this is such a good episode.
Oh my God, that's so great.
So we're out here representing the
influencer community.
Influencer community and the mental health community. And that's really all you can ask for.
I
from
love
the morning
that
toast.
For us.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that's really all I had to add to life today. Oh, except I know I've been keeping everyone up to abreast on my sleeping journey, and I know like nobody cares, but like this is how we got into the intrusive thoughts conversation yesterday, because I took melatonin and I slept really good. So I took melatonin again and I went to bed at 10 o'clock. I woke up at 2 a.m. and I was up till 5.
Whoa.
It was horrible. You know what? I thought there was nothing worse than not being able to fall asleep. No. Sleeping, waking up for a few hours, then going back to sleep is the worst thing on the planet.
Okay. So no more melatonin for you, because also like, melatonin, yeah, you sleep so good, so you take it again and again, and then eventually it stops working, and then you're just like hooked. So yeah, just quit while you're ahead.
I know. I just like want to be able to sleep. Like, I always look at Theo, and I am envious of so many things in Theo's life. Like, mm-hmm, he doesn't have to pay bills. He doesn't have, you know, the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he also doesn't ever have to worry about falling asleep. He closes his eyes, boom, asleep.
Yeah. Nothing really keeps him up at night. But that's also because he kind of has his life in order, you know? He's a responsible adult. And, yeah, like, he doesn't leave these things hanging that keep him up at night.
That's true. But, like, I just crave that sort of mindless energy.
Yeah. Well, what if you took like a really hot bath right before bed, not like at 6 o'clock?
So I'm at a place like in my life and my physical journey where like I just really don't like fit in my bathtub anymore. I have a really small bathtub. And when I first moved into the apartment, like it was tight.
Yeah. But you grow.
But it was doable. I've grown enormously in width. And I'm sure I could fit, but it's just like, who wants to be like sausaged into
like a sardine?
Yeah. Even though I will say, today marks the day where I lost 15 pounds. And I'm really proud of myself because I've just been trying to, thank you, cut back a little bit. You know, it's summertime. The chub rub is out of control. And I definitely look and feel the same. So that's awesome. It's really great. So maybe I should try getting back in the tub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to lose weight.
People are like,
bathroom.
What's your goal weight? I'm like, I just want to fit in my tub.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to like be dramatic. My tub is so small.
Yeah. No, but also like, sure, you fit into it, but like you want to splay out.
I can't really
you
spread my legs.
You need to come and use my tub.
It's
like,
so
not
disgusting.
To rub it in.
You don't even like baths.
I started taking baths more. I take baths more.
You
I used to never
huge,
take baths.
Deep tub that
huge.
Overlooks the city.
I could literally like drown in it. It's so
it's
big.
Disgusting.
And yeah, there's a big window. overlooks the city. I don't know what they can see in. I don't want to think about
it.
Yeah, like their problem, not mine.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really wonderful. You should come over for a sleepover one night.
I would love that.
And you should use my tub.
I just need a bath. Like, I used to be such a bath girly, and I haven't taken a bath.
Bath time Q&A.
Right.
Your brand is suffering.
No, and people are always like, bring back the bath time Q&A. I'm like, girly, I can't fit. So that was part of like the impetus behind seeing the snow before Christmas when I wanted to move last year. A tub was like a huge thing for me. I'll even take a good tub in the guest bathroom. Like, I just need one good tub because I'm normally a shower. But, like, I don't know. There's nothing like a midday tub.
No, but, like, if you did a late night tub, you might have an easier time relaxing is what I'm saying. No,
I know. Like, I go through periods in my life where, like, sleep evades me. And it makes me abnormally enraged. Like, it's so annoying.
Yeah. Also, maybe try a physical book, not the Kindle, because I feel like whenever I read a physical book, I'm like, this shit sucks.
That's true. It's so boring.
I'm sleepy. Good night.
That's a good call.
And I do wonder sometimes if the Kindle has
blue light.
I read like the most misleading study. Like, I was looking for, now at the Redheads we do like a book news segment, and now that I started it, like, there's no book news, so I have to like go searching, and I saw this dumbass NPR article that was like, reading on an e-reader like makes it harder for readers to fall asleep. And I was like, oh, okay, click. Let me read about this study. They literally sampled 10 people. That's why you need to read the fine print, because that doesn't tell you shit about
Agreed. And like, what were these 10 people going through? Like,
right. What was on their mind? Maybe they have their lives together like Theo or no?
Like, yeah, maybe they couldn't sleep because like rent was due or like other things that were keeping them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's moronic. In order for a study to be like actually legit, I think you need to do like 100 people.
I don't think that's like legit. I think the bigger the study, you know, the more legit. But yeah, 10's not going to cut it, NPR. And I can't believe they would even like push that forward.
No, that's like embarrassing for the public radio community. Yeah. What does the N stand for? National?
National.
Cool, cool.
I believe.
So we've got a great show. We've got 5 stories. We have an interview that we're doing today. Are we releasing it today?
We'll release the YouTube, like, today, and then it will be in the podcast tomorrow. I feel like that's fair too.
So if you want
the exclusive, obviously subscribe so you know when it happens.
That's the thing about being a subscriber.
You get exclusive content.
And you're subscribed. And you're good in my book. So
you know where else you get exclusive content? Patreon. And we recorded a podcast yesterday that will go up today. So if you need extra content, we've got you. And it's so good and so funny. It's all about things that give you the ick, like that people do, that, you know, potential partners do, and how you could be falling in love with someone and then you have to like wait online with them and the romance,
and it's over.
It's dead.
Fizzled.
It's such a good, funny episode, and head over to patreon.com for more good, funny episodes because there are so many.
So many.
And if you're not a patron and you join today, like, there's 250 plus episodes of The Morning Toast waiting for you.
It's where we're $7.99.
Particularly unhinged.
Yeah, no, I feel much more comfortable, like it's more of a safe space on Patreon, because if you're paying for content, like, more likely than not, like, you're not a troll.
Yeah,
but also, don't get me wrong, there are trolls who will go to the length of paying $7.
Oh, they will, and they don't know this yet. I'm here to tell them that they are fans. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it.
You know what? We were talking about this yesterday, about how, like, I've recently become obsessed with one particular influencer. I will, like, literally never say their name. It's like a hate-watching thing.
Uh-huh, but you're a true fan.
I guess I am, yeah.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And even though you might have come to it in a non-traditional way through the route of hate, like, you're a fan, you're supporting her work, and I love that for both of you.
Yeah.
You're giving a view.
Yeah.
But you're getting, like, you enjoy.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just, like, not your typical...
I enjoy in a negative way.
Yeah, but, like, enjoyment is enjoyment.
That's
put so that on true. The Canva Pro graphic.
Enjoyment is enjoyment. So let's dive in, right?
Let's dive right into the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Figs. Figs is on a mission to take awesome scrubs suited for the awesome humans working in healthcare. So forget the boxy, itchy scrubs. Figs are engineered to be ridiculously soft and incredibly durable. They use innovative technical comfort technology. Figs is blending smooth comfort, style, and durability into high-performance scrubs that help you perform at your best, whatever the day throws at you. So Figs are functional. They're modern scrubs with a focus on design, function, and comfort. They're proprietary 4-way stretch fabric for a ridiculously soft feel. They're moisture-wicking, anti-wrinkle, and anti-odor, thanks to the Silvador antimicrobial technology. If you don't know where to start at Figs, they're super popular core scrubs. Never go out of stock or style. I have actually core scrubs because I love to lounge around in stretchy materials, mm-hmm. and I don't discriminate whether they're scrubs or whatever, you know?
Yeah, comfort so is comfort.
Comfort is comfort, and Figs are premium. So if there's like a healthcare worker in your life who you want to surprise with something nice, I feel like it makes a huge difference in your day, like how much you feel comfortable in your clothing. Like you'll perform better, you'll feel better. So check out Figs. They believe that awesome humans in healthcare deserve scrubs that match. Head to wearfigs.com and use code TOAST to get 15% off your first order. That's WEARFIGS.com. Code TOAST for 15% off your first order.
Thank you, Claudia. Our first story is a story that I'm weirdly very invested in. Charli D'Amelio and Landon Barker are dating. It's early stages, says a source to People magazine. So the TikTok star and entrepreneur is dating drummer Travis Barker's son, who's also a musician and budding fashion designer, a source tells People exclusively. They say, quote, they're seeing each other and it's early stages. The stars are both 18.
We love a age-appropriate mm-hmm. relationship. This is so cute. You know what's so interesting to me is how like punk rock is like making the biggest comeback. Of course, when we think of like Blink 182 and just like that genre of music, I'm in love with an emo girl. It's giving like early 2000s.
Yeah.
But not even through music, but I think like through celebrity, punk is becoming like cool again. And it's so interesting how it's like trickling down from like 40-year-olds like the Kardashians to 18-year-olds like Charli.
Yeah. Everybody's choosing the punk rockers.
MGK.
Yeah.
Travis, now Landon, even Addison Rae's boyfriend is a punk rocker who plays with MGK and Travis.
Okay, this is, I'm glad you brought her up because this story is really interesting to me because I always like associate Charli and Addison, even though they're different ages, like they're the TikTok girlies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even though there's trouble in paradise between Addison and Courtney, like Addison is friends with Courtney and then like Charli is dating her son.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing. It's just like two different levels.
Yeah, it's just interesting. And also now it's like, I don't even know if Addison and Charli are friends. I'm sure they're, you know,
acquaintances.
But now if like the whole punk rock crew is getting together, then Addison and Charli are going to be hanging out.
Well, so do you have confirmed proof that there's trouble in paradise between Courtney and...
She wasn't at the wedding. And I'm sorry, like the size of the wedding and considering how close they were last summer, she should have been invited.
Yeah, but there's no like concrete proof that they're not friends anymore.
No, and I don't think they're probably, I don't think they're like enemies, but they were close and now they're less close.
I wonder if Courtney still follows Addison on Instagram.
I'm sure she does. I don't think there's beef.
Right.
I think that they are less close. And that's sad to me. She does follow Addison,
yeah.
Because they were so close.
No, and it was like an iconic, albeit bizarre, friendship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my thought immediately also went to like Courtney and Charli.
I know.
Which and I'm is sure, like so bizarre.
But like Courtney loves the TikTokers. I'm sure Mason is thrilled about this.
Oh my God. I forgot how literally this would affect Mason.
It's really, it's quite beautiful. You yeah. couldn't write a better relation. I couldn't, like, if we put our list together of 18-year-olds, I would never even have thought to put them together.
No, but also this is just like an interesting moment in Kardashian history where like they're also now being brought into the next generation in terms of like relevance. Mm-hmm. They're not really like aging out of this TikTok age because like now their kids, this is like the, I mean, it's Travis's kid, but it's Courtney's stepchild. And it's like, it's the second generation of Kardashians like and their fame. Like this is just the start because like, you know, North pretty soon is going to be on the cover of magazines. Like yeah. this is just the beginning of Kardashian Gen 2.0 taking the lead.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I really ship. I really do.
He's a nice boy from what we've seen on Kardashians. And Charli's a nice girl, too. You know, yeah. I don't think they're going to be getting into trouble.
Are we going to get season 2 of the D'Amelio show?
Yes, we are.
I'm going to be watching it.
They went to the Hulu like upfronts to mm-hmm. promote.
Because I don't remember what I said about it by the time I finished the
show. I remember.
What did I say?
You were really shocked at how much like mental health.
But did I enjoy the show? What did I say about that?
I think you did.
I think I did too.
If you finished it, you enjoyed it.
The way that I look back on it, like, was filled with so much tea and insight. And, like, I never would have expected, like, this is these girls' day to day. And I want more.
Yeah.
I want more.
I fully like the show, and I definitely will be watching it. I do hope it's, like, a little more, like, a little deeper this time. I feel like it was a little surface level, especially with Charli, not with Dixie.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the thing, and it's the same with the Kardashians. Like, I don't know when they filmed it, but, like, Dixie just released an album. She's, like, playing at all these iHeartRadio jingle balls. She's doing this cover that's going viral of Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Like, that's what I want to see. And, like, I think they stopped filming months ago. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's, like, this delayed gratification, especially with social media influencers. It's, like, it doesn't work.
Wait, and also they're both, like, Hulu families.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think this is PR? I don't think they would use 18, like... They're too young.
Wait, that's a good call. No, I don't. Because the relationship, like, makes a lot of sense.
I know, but, like, they're both like the first families of Hulu.
Yes. However, aside from this report, like if you're in the TikToking world, which I am, like you've seen like videos of them like leaving and going to parties together for like a couple months. It's not like a random blast.
Okay. Okay.
It seemed pretty organic.
Okay. Okay, great. Love it.
Yeah. How do you think Lil Hootie is handling this?
I don't know him. I'm so, like, I just don't know.
Okay.
But they're friends, right?
But Charlie obviously has a type because like Lil Hootie is also like a more of like an emo punk musician. Like really, they look kind of similar, like black shaggy hair, tall and skinny. Like Charlie obviously has a type.
Yeah.
We love a consistent queen.
We do. But in the show, like her and Huddy are friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they could still be friends even though she has a new man.
Yeah, I think a lot of people took that friendship as like the building blocks to getting back together.
I didn't see sparks between them. I did not.
At the Benihana.
Even though I literally don't know them whatsoever.
No, same. I just also think that like this is an interesting moment in time for the talkers as well, because I definitely think just in terms of fame, like the Addison and Charlie's, like they peaked. And I just feel like for a while I was like, Addison is doing everything right. But now I'm kind of seeing like how they both played with the cards they were dealt. Like the D'Amelios were much more, I think, like long-term focused. Like they started a $25 million venture capitalist fund. Like they're like in it for the long haul. Like they're being really smart. And Addison just feels like she's been so distant lately.
But to me, the Addison distance feels like a choice, not a byproduct of choices that she made. Like I feel like she's always on vacation right now, like focusing on herself and her happiness. I think she has like movie roles lined up, but is working less because she's enjoying her life, we'll not because see. People aren't hiring her.
We'll see. We'll have to see.
We shall see. I miss Addison though.
Me
that
too.
Was like a really fun time when she was everywhere and She's All That was everything.
Was all that.
She was all that.
Truly.
I look forward to her next leading role.
Me too. Leading lady.
Are you ready for our next story? Speaking of celebrity spawn.
Yes.
Ben Affleck's son, Samuel, age 10, accidentally backs into a Lamborghini in a BMW LA dealership.
Age 10?
Age 10. Do you not see this story? Ben Affleck's
son. I got a people notification, but it didn't register for me that a 10-year-old was behind the wheel.
Right. Okay, so Ben Affleck's son, Samuel Garner. That's interesting that he has his mom's last name.
Oh, progressive.
That's very interesting. Got into a fender bender while visiting a luxury car rental dealership over the weekend. So he was with his dad and J-Lo at 777 Exotics in L.A., where Ben let his preteen get into the driver's seat of a yellow Lamborghini. While in the vehicle, he hit a white BMW station behind him.
The car was on?
Yeah, he like was test. He was trying out cars in a dealership. The 10-year-old wanted to get in the front seat, so he did, and he accidentally backed up into another car. It wasn't a big deal, and there weren't like marks on the car, but like Ben was really upset, according to all these sources. But okay, yeah, but that like, sounds right. I know. Yeah. No, he.
I'm not judging. Like, I'm not parent shaming. But like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Your kid is 10 years old. And it's not like you're literally in a Lamborghini exotic. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think this was just like a moment where he just like forgot who he was, where he was, the ages. And it's like, oh, we're in a dealership. Like, he's not going on the street. Like, let him get in the front seat. Ha ha. Not funny.
How did his feet even reach the pedals? Like, this story is so confusing to
Maybe
me.
Maybe he's a tall child, tall for his age.
What do you think the damage was, like, monetarily? They didn't walk out scot-free.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the damage was, but I think more, like, the damage to his image is worse. Like,
no, I mean, this is so embarrassing. And I feel like Jennifer Garner is, like, a very strict mom.
Oh, she's not happy about
this. So
when
she heard that, like, her ex-husband let their 10-year-old get in the front seat of a sports car that was on...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he got his ass fucking ripped when he dropped the kid back
off.
I
could just, like, imagine how he felt.
And then how she felt hearing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But him, like, knowing, like, he's in trouble. The whole world knows. Like it's just bad.
It's bad. What do you think the relationship between J-Lo and Jay Garner is?
I think it's bad because...
Yes,
because
of the history.
Because of the history.
Even though, like... When Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck did get divorced, it was like very much her decision. She found happiness immediately with someone afterwards. Like she was the one, but it can't feel good that like the man, even if it was your decision to break up the marriage, it can't feel good that the man you shared a life with for so many years ended up back with the woman with before you.
I think before these two got back together, I'm sure J-Lo like resented Jennifer Garner because like she got, you know, she got him to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And like that was the you know, the next girl, and like she resented her, and now like it goes both ways.
Yeah. All the years like J-Lo spent thinking about Jennifer Garner, Jennifer Garner's now spent thinking about J-Lo.
I think there's mutual hate.
But when you are co-parenting and you're in a new relationship, like you have to get along.
But I also think as co-parents, like they probably don't
speak.
I think they do like the bare minimum communication. By the way, I don't know these people. It's just a vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, some co-parents like are involved and, you know, blended, and others just like text about the kids. And this feels like a text about the kids situation. Mm-hmm. And I think Ben and Jennifer Garner barely speak. So J-Lo and Jen Garner, no.
Yeah. But like if they do get married and like the kids are going to like spend time with J-Lo, like Jennifer Garner is going to need to know that like her kids are safe with J-Lo. And I know they are, but like you have to communicate. Like that's honestly, when I think about co-parenting, like in a hypothetical situation, like I feel two ways about it. I would make my blood fucking boil. Like get your fucking disgusting hands off my kids.
Yeah.
But it's also like, wow, another person wants to take care of my kids so I can go on vacation. Sign me up. Like, I don't know where I would fall.
I think it depends on the person.
Yeah. And it also depends on how your marriage ended.
Yes. But like, if the person is someone, I mean, maybe you could never see them in a favorable light if there's all these other residual feelings. But if it was some like, you know, bad
Meredith Blake.
Oh, well, that's not even what I'm thinking about. I'm just thinking about like, I don't know, maybe like an airhead.
Yeah, well, like that's like if someone getting into a relationship like with a much younger woman, which does happen a lot.
Yeah.
And then it's weird. It's like you also feel like, is this 25-year-old prepared to take care of my adult children, not my teenage children?
Right, right. There's so many things that go into it. It can be done. You can blend, sure. But there's a lot of factors.
But people who do it like seamlessly and very maturely and like put the kids first have my utmost respect. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's nothing harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are so many dynamics.
Right.
And people can be, you know, everyone has their individual personalities.
No, and parenting is like so personal. Like your choices when it comes to your kids are like, everyone has the best intentions, but what you choose might like literally someone else might think is so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I never get there.
Well, speaking of parenting, our next story, Chris Pratt cried over the backlash from his post praising his quote, healthy daughter. Do you remember this?
Remind me.
Chris Pratt went on Instagram to talk like glow about his wife. And he was like, find someone who looks at you Catherine looks at me. And then he said, like, you know,
she's given me beautiful, healthy daughters.
She gave me a beautiful, healthy daughter. And everyone thought that was like a snub at his son and
with Anna Faris because he has like some health issues.
He was premature. He was 7 weeks premature and he was in the NICU.
Okay.
So everyone thought that's what it was. And now he's on the cover of Men's Health and he's saying that whole situation made him cry.
I feel like he's always on the cover of Men's Health, you know?
Yeah. He's always on the cover like of something. These pictures are actually really cute. And like dad, like
Chris Pratt is hot. Like,
oh, for sure, everybody knows that. But like, look at him on the cover. He's like being like Men's Healthy, but also like dad body.
And I feel like people don't really talk about the evolution of Chris Pratt.
No, literally, it's all people talk about.
When he was like playing only like the fat funny friend, uh-huh. And then he like went on a diet and became a leading man. Like, how fucked up is that? Like, you can't be chubby and a leading man. But his evolution is really interesting to me. I don't think about it.
He never lost his chubby energy.
No, and by the way,
that's why he has staying power.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Chubby energy is so important. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we talk about celebrities like weight loss journeys a lot. And for me, like as a chubby fat person, like I can't lie and say like when someone gets famous for being big and then not for being big, they get famous when they're big and then they lose weight like when they get really famous, like it does feel like a little bit like a betrayal. Mm-hmm. But what really feels like the betrayal is like they lose that spark, you know?
Yeah.
When you are a heavy person, especially in entertainment, so you're like one of the only, you have to work much harder to be like funnier and charismatic. You work extra hard on your personality because other people don't have to do that. They can rely on their looks in entertainment, which is like a looks-based industry. So I always feel sad for like the loss of the spark.
Yeah, but do you think that you feel differently when it's a man versus a woman? Like maybe you feel more
Give me an example of a man who's lost a lot of weight and like changed his like
and lost his chubby spark.
No, just give me, and I'll tell you if he lost his chubby spark.
Jonah Hill
lost his chubby spark.
Okay,
still a little bit there, but not nearly as much.
And then the female category,
Melissa McCarthy,
like Rebel Wilson, just talking about.
I don't know if Rebel lost her spark. It's too soon to tell. You know, it's
there's
new.
Too much RMN going around. We can't sift through and see where the spark is.
I would be lying if I said Melissa McCarthy didn't lose a little bit of her spark. She became like a really serious actress.
But she's also just like choosing different roles.
Yeah, which is a part of that. You have more options, which is so fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like you have so many more options at one weight than you do at another. Like when you're plus size in Hollywood, like you are constantly fat, funny friend.
Yeah.
And you know what? Melissa McCarthy was one of the most successful overweight actresses because she had movie after movie that was her movie. Like she wasn't friend of supporting role. It was her movie, but she was like this comically self-deprecating character. But you know what? Good for her. She definitely moved the needle.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this as an insult at all. Like, I just find it to be like a genuinely interesting observation.
Yeah.
So back to his kid.
He never lost his chubby energy. And he's saying that, you know, people who were saying it was a dig at his wife. He said, quote, "That is fucked up. My son's going to read that one day. He's nine and it's etched in digital stone. It really fucking bothered me, dude. I cried about it." I mean,
I feel that.
That is bothersome.
Because saying like, "I love my wife. She gave me a healthy child," is a very common thing to say. People, I think, were looking too much into it. And I do believe that was the takeaway we had when we reported on it, like, last year or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can see that bothering him. And he has every right for it to bother him.
Yeah. That's messed up.
It is messed up. But they also just had another baby, right?
Yeah.
They're so Eloise. Low-key. Oh, that's a cute name.
Really cute. And they have another daughter, Layla, the one who was beautiful, healthy daughter.
Got it. Got it. And what's his son's name with Anna Faris?
Jack.
Does Anna Faris date?
I'm sure.
I wonder what she's getting into.
I'm sure she's doing her thing.
I'ma do my thing. I'ma do my thing.
That's Anna Faris getting ready for a date.
Anna Faris is like such an iconic actress. Like, I wish she would act more.
No, she really is. And the people who have worked with her say like the most glowing things about her acting. Like, she was in that movie that everyone's obsessed with, Lost in Translation. You know,
oh,
the
she
one?
Was?
She was like, she was in like a comedic role, mm-hmm. and the movie's about like ScarJo and Tom Hanks, but I remember reading like Tom Hanks like was taken with Anna Faris.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like my knowledge of Anna Faris's work is more like House Bunny,
Just Friends.
What's My Number? What's Your Number? Mm-hmm. Just Friends.
And I think like Just Friends, that was the same takeaway from like the people on set for that movie.
I'd love to hear that. And yeah. I'm sure she's a delight to work with.
Yeah.
And I just really wish her the best. Like, I do love a queen who respects podcasts, but I need her to get back on the horse. Like, it's time for another rom-com.
Yeah. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Come and find
me. I'm ready, too, but not before I let you know that the rest of the show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
We must know this.
We're all so excited to travel this summer, but have you ever thought about all the people that it takes to make a vacation truly great? Well, you know that outstanding talent is crucial for a successful business, and if you're hiring, you can find talent for roles like these and more at ZipRecruiter when you try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/toast. So you know a vacation, like when you go on a trip, if the concierge is like so above and beyond helpful, all the staff is just like so kind, welcoming, and warm. And that's all about just like having a good hiring experience. And ZipRecruiter is it. They use powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy to filter, review, and rate your candidates. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 2022. So travel to this easy to remember destination, ZipRecruiter.com/toast. That's where you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Today's episode is also brought to you by Slotomania. Life's too short for a day without fun. Get a thrill whenever you need it at Slotomania, the world's number one free slot game. You'll have endless excitement at your fingertips with 170 free-to-play slot games, huge jackpots, an interactive community, and 1 million free coins. So you can join the biggest community of slot lovers in the world. You can interact with fellow players, form cooperative Slotto cans with new friends, or you can enter electrifying live tournaments. You can also become a VIP member to get your own personal account manager. Connect with millions of other slot fans on the Slotomania Facebook app. Facebook page, the biggest slot community in the world. You can share your wins with the world, get love and feedback from other members 24/7. So it's a really unique gaming experience. They have gorgeous graphics, huge jackpots, fun freebies, and mini games. And there's something new every day for an endless variety of fun. And the rush you feel when you win a big jackpot, I mean, you know me, I'm a gambling girly. I love the casino. I love playing it on my phone. It's everything of the sort. When your day is feeling stale, just ask, what will today spin? If you're 21 or older, you can join millions of players around the world. Download Slotomania, the number one free slots game, on the App Store or Google Play Store, and get 1 million free coins. That's Slotomania on the App Store or Google Play Store for 1 million free coins.
Okay, our next story, some glowing Kardashian news. Kris Jenner honors Khloe Kardashian, her 38th birthday party, saying, "You are the queen of our family." So yesterday was Khloe's birthday, and the tributes were coming, and they didn't stop coming.
Okay, but did you notice, maybe I missed it because I went to bed early, that Kylie nor Kendall posted for Khloe?
What?
Let me just double check. Kylie Jenner in feed. No. And she has no stories in the last 24 hours.
Maybe she's just like on a social media break.
Kendall in feed. No, last picture is the one of her ass.
Was she at the birthday party? And no stories.
Oh, she was at the birthday party and posted a picture of Chris.
Okay, but she was at the birthday party. They're obviously not on the outs if she was there.
It's just weird, no? Like, the Kardashians are always on schedule with birthday posts. Like, I'm sure they have, like, a Google Doc with captions and photos. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. There was a party at Chris's house last night. She made a drunken toast to Khloé, who she said is the queen of our family. And everyone was just celebrating Coco, which we love. But check your phone, because Kim just posted a carousel of photos from North.
From last night?
From North's birthday. Okay. Camp North. And look what she... Look at the weekend. Look at the moment.
Camp North.
They flew Kim's plane.
Oh, to like this wilderness outdoor adventure. It looks like Camp Toast.
With like all of North's friends.
It literally looks like Camp Toast.
It looks like a dream.
Oh my gosh, she tagged Jessica Simpson. That's her kid. Oh my God. I love.
That looks like a dream.
Oh my God. And the inside of the plane is decorated with like camp logs and shit like that. They slept in little tents. Oh my, this is so cute. They went. Like ropes course.
Like it looks like Camp Toast. And also, remember that episode of Kardashians where Kim was saying that North is obsessed with camping and they had to go camping with like Tracy?
She should send North to like camp.
Yeah, she should. Do you think North could go to camp?
I'm sure there's like very elite camps.
Yeah, where she could have her privacy.
Oh my God, this is so cute, by the way. I'm guffawing over. She tagged Jessica Simpson in two photos. What's her oldest daughter's name? Birdie or Max?
They're all named Birdie.
Maxie Drew.
Cute.
I love this so much. I love this aesthetic. I wonder where this is. It looks beautiful. This campgrounds.
Maybe it's like Wyoming or Montana.
Yeah, I mean, they're near so many. Or even like Idaho. Big Sur.
Yeah.
Where they went on Chaz's Sunset, where they went camping. It was like so nice.
That doesn't look like the Sur La Table.
It doesn't look like Sexy Unique Restaurant.
It doesn't look like Big Sur La Table.
Okay, back to this.
Okay, back to Khloé's birthday. You know what this makes me think? You know when it's your birthday and like you're seeing someone new and it's like either they do something for
it
your birthday.
It accelerates it.
Or it's like you didn't recognize my birthday. You didn't even like get me a flower or anything. Like you obviously don't care about me. Moving on. If she does have a businessman beau, like this could be a true test.
Yes, I always feel like if it's the right relationship, like your birthday or the other person's birthday will come at a really good time to either like move the relationship forward a little bit faster than normal or completely derail it. And it's like a sign whether the relationship is meant to work. So I was thinking that too. The birthday party looked like it was like a dinner party. It looked very like elegant, of course, chef. Everyone was wearing gowns and diamonds, but it was very low key. And it looked so fun and so nice. And Kim posted a bunch of stories, mostly of Kris Jenner being wasted. But she did, when they were all sitting at the table and Kris was giving, the speech, she flipped the camera to Khloé and she had to like swerve around the table. I was literally like looking at every person's face. I'm like, who is that? Who is that? All I really saw was Malika, Khloé, and then like this old man in the back. I don't think that was her business memo. but you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Whatever's gonna make Khloé happy.
I really hope he was there. Even though like that one singular report, like we got nothing, no follow-up.
The old man.
Yeah, in the pink shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking, who is that? But he got a premium spot in Kim's Instagram.
He's at like the head of the table.
Yeah.
If anybody knows this man, please let us know.
It's so random.
That is so funny.
But I didn't really get to see like a good viewing of who was truly there.
Yeah. True was there. That's who was truly there.
I also was obsessed with Kris. You know, I'm entering like my coastal grandmother aesthetic. And not Kris isn't coastal grandmother. No. She's like elevated, like matronly Hollywood grandmother. So I'm definitely like I'm interested in what she's serving up. She looked so glamorous in that like big gown.
Yeah, and Khloé looks amazing.
Khloé looks amazing.
Khloé's all the girls in her season.
All the girls are looking great.
Yeah,
I would love to know like why Kendall didn't post. I agree with you. Like Kylie's not that alarming because they said on the show like Kylie goes through bouts where she decides like not to put Stormy on social media, not to go on social media. So that doesn't really like perplex me. But like the Kendall thing does, especially because she literally posted one day ago a picture of her bare ass. Like she's obviously
engaging.
She has the app on her phone, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That is kind of
just something
weird
to note. But she was at the party. So whatever that means.
Also, speaking of Hulu, I just told Claudia, but the new season of Only Murders in the Building premieres tonight. So that's really exciting. Two episodes.
It is really exciting. I saw some like footage from the red carpet of Selena looking glamorous. It's
got to keep an eye out for Selena.
And sometimes like I just sit back and think about my journey with Selena Gomez. And like it shocks me like how I used to like not like her at all. And like now I can't get enough. Like
can't get
rare
enough.
Beauty. Give it.
Yeah.
Only Murders. Need it.
Uh-huh.
Selena. Everything.
Yeah. If you had told me like 10 years ago that there would be a time when I was like more obsessed with Selena than Miley, like yeah. I would say who is this traitor?
Yeah, that's so true.
Get her out of my face.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I have a couple people like that. Obviously, Miranda Lambert comes to mind.
Right.
But I also feel like Miranda Lambert's, like, my hatred of Miranda Lambert was, like, a byproduct of her negative media
coverage.
Like, misogynistic. Okay, so she literally wanted to date a bunch of guys in a row. Who cares? So I just feel like I was tricked. Also, Jason Aldean is up there. I used to really, like, not fuck with him, but I kind of think, like, I like his music.
Yeah.
I used to, like, really not like him. I'm like, for literally no reason other than the fact that I just decided not to like him. I just, like, I'm a hate-filled person, and, like, I'm I'm trying to be better, like, I really am.
Yeah, and just, like, question
everything.
Yeah, but I feel like there are other people that you hate, like, where you have ground.
Charlie Puth. Yeah.
Right.
No, I have my reasons.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel as bad for, like, hating men for no reason than I do for hating women. Because, like, then it's just, like, just my internalized misogyny. Yeah. Like, why did I hate Selena Gomez? Because she was a little messy. Like, aren't we all?
Yeah, but it was also because of the rivalry of growing up. I think it was, like, so ingrained.
Yes, because you were either one or the other. And, like, we literally would have taken a bullet for Hannah Montana.
Multiple.
Like, there was no better show, better Disney star, better musician, better person, better celebrity than Hannah Montana. And I think we felt like the other girls, like Demi and Selena, were just, like, coming for Hannah's neck.
Yeah.
And we weren't into it. And then, like, the Jonas Brothers got involved and made it, like, really tense. And so we stuck with Miley.
No, I was, like, team Miley. Like, there was no question.
Do you remember when you met Miley, like, shortly after Hannah Montana in her, like, iconic long wavy hair era at Topshop?
Yeah, I do.
Does that go down in history as, like, one of the best days of your life?
Yeah, for sure, because there was no celebrity who I was more obsessed with, or I've ever, maybe now the way I feel about, like, Kim mm-hmm. and Kylie is how I felt then, but now it's more of a mature.
But it was your number one.
It was my every, it was my personality. Like,
yeah.
I was Miley Stewart. You weren't gonna tell
she's
me
just
anything.
Being Miley.
I was just, she's just being Jackie, like, couldn't tell me that I wasn't.
I know.
So
I'm glad you had that moment.
Yeah.
Do you think that's, like, the most starstruck you've ever been?
I don't recall being that starstruck, which is weird because I'm so shy and I was alone, so no one was there to, like, help.
Who took
introduce
the picture?
Me. That's a great question.
Because it was, like, it wasn't a selfie.
No, it wasn't.
It was a BlackBerry.
I mean, maybe I was with Olivia then, if because someone has to take the picture, and it doesn't sound like my personality to go up to Miley alone.
No, no.
So maybe I was with Olivia because we were downtown.
Well, Olivia will, like, is actually the perfect person to be with, like, in a situation like that, because, like, she will support 100%, take the picture. She'll approach.
That's probably how it happened, because I know myself, and I would never have approached on my own.
Especially when you were, like, much younger.
Yeah.
I always think about that. I think the most starstruck I've ever been was when I met Harry Styles.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of the best and worst experiences of my life, because I looked like a loser, and, like, I acted like a loser, and I'm sure he was, like, not interested in pursuing a friendship.
And you were a loser.
Right. And I still am, so it's good to know that I'm consistent.
Yeah, but just know, like, no matter how cool you were in the moment, like, you weren't going to be friends.
Okay, so
and
normally...
And that's sad on that.
Normally, I agree, but it's not like I went up to Harry, like, hey, can I get a picture? I love you. Like, I went over, and I was like, hey, it's me. And he was like, Claudia. Like, he knew me. And he, like, it wasn't so much as, like, a fan moment. I didn't even get a picture. It was just, like, introducing myself as the person he follows on Instagram for the last couple of years. And he knew me immediately. At first, he thought I was a fan, and he turned his head away. And then he looked back and was like, Claudia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually did find out. Do you know how Harry Styles found out that Caitlyn Jenner had transitioned and her name was Caitlyn? From my Instagram. I know that for a fact. I have inside sources who told me that.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah. So I'm just, like, teaching Harry things. I'm Harry's teacher. I'm Harry's guidance counselor.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I guess probably the most starstruck I've really ever been was when I met Harry Ashray Weinreb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I was, like, quaking.
Quaking.
I miss him so much.
What, like, other I mean, you've met a lot of celebrities, but what other celebrities have you met when you weren't a celebrity?
Right. No, like, as a true fan, let me think.
Yeah.
I feel like growing up, like, we didn't have a lot of celebrity, like, interactions, you know? Like, I don't recall being young and, like, meeting so many famous people, you know?
Yeah. Let me think. We never, like, went backstage at a concert or anything.
No. I feel like what's so weird is, like, what's coming to mind is, like, when we were in, like, high school and middle school, we went out to dinner and we saw that guy from America's Next Top Model, Nigel Barker. And, like, that's, like, and we didn't even care. We were, like, cool.
No, or that one time we were at a restaurant, but it was, like, when
the Veronicas.
Oh, my God.
The Veronicas.
The Veronicas.
We were at a restaurant and we saw the Veronicas.
We were at Nobu.
And we took a picture, right?
Yeah.
Our mom, like, made us go. We were obsessed.
We were obsessed. obsessed with the Veronicas, and then we saw them at Nobu, and like it was the best day of our life.
Oh my god, that was so the Veronica. That was the moment. Like yeah. that was. I think we were all literally like shaking, and our mom like made us go. We were like 11.
Yeah,
that it was at Nobu. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, look at us fancy eating at Nobu at 11. I was probably having the worst time. I'm like, can we go to McDonald's?
Yeah.
That is so iconic. I forgot.
I think it was my birthday.
Yeah. That's iconic. It was the Tribeca Nobu.
Yeah, what were we doing in Tribeca?
No, that's like so not us. We were probably like trying to make it nice, you know, for
yeah.
your birthday.
Yeah, but we didn't like live in the city yet.
I feel so untouched and I want you so much somehow. I can't resist you. It's not enough to say that I miss you. They were so good. Like, and we love a sister-sister duo.
So fucking good.
That is like the celebrity moment of our
encounter
childhood.
Encounter of a lifetime. Yeah,
so niche.
Like, we're so alternative.
Emo.
Indie girls.
They literally had like side parts.
We are indie girls.
Yeah.
So don't ever come for us and say that we're not.
Yeah. Like,
we're not mainstream. We're not like other girls.
No, not at all. Like, I listen to Mumford.
I listen to the Veronicas.
Yeah, literally.
But then also we did encounter them like later in life when we were people. Like,
we did?
Yeah. Remember we went to that concert you like with Ryan Cabrera? And you, like, interviewed him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At Webster Hall or something?
Yeah, but that was, like, after. You went because you were an influencer.
Right,
so, like,
right. No.
Count.
No, it's definitely more fun to, like have a real fan moment as, like, a young person. Like, nothing to lose. It's just, like, you're meeting your icon, and it's, like, the best feeling in the world. And, like, those moments stick with you, like, for your whole life.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I feel like Snitch has had a lot of those moments. Not, I feel like now she, like, still runs into people, and she's like, what do I do? What do I say? Yeah. Can I get a picture?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when we saw Shay Mitchell? That's what the one I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
We were at a restaurant.
Random restaurant.
Snitch was like so excited. She was just having brunch with her friends. I don't think Snitch did anything about it.
No, she didn't.
And I'm sure she regrets it.
Yeah. We all have moments like that that we regret. Recently, I think probably the most starstruck I've been in recent memory was when I saw RuPaul at a restaurant. And like, I couldn't go over because it was like a restaurant that has like a no approach rule. But even him just like standing near me, like I was like shaking. Like,
yeah.
That's like meeting like Madonna. Like, he's literally like a living legend.
Yeah.
I wish I think like that one will stick with me. Like the regret.
But you couldn't have done anything about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Okay. Now it's time for our fifth and final story, which is a little tech news. Spotify launches a new karaoke mode. To all Spotify users, you'll now be able to sing along to your favorite tunes with the app's new karaoke feature. The streaming platform's latest update includes a karaoke mode, which allows users to sing their favorite songs with the lyrics appearing on the screen. In addition to displaying the words, the new feature also gives you a scorecard and rates your singing. That's kind of mean.
Oh, love that.
That's a little, like, mean. And but are who's they, doing the judging? Are who's they, deciding?
Are they putting on instrumental version?
Unclear.
Because I saw this news, I'm like, this is such a good idea. They could literally like put the karaoke companies like out of business. Mm-hmm. But if they're not offering, like, you should be able to just toggle between instrumental and non-instrumental.
But not every artist puts out the instrumental version of their song, and I don't think Spotify can just be like tinkering with songs.
I feel like literally moving forward, they could just be like, when you want to upload a song, also upload the...
Is that how much they're going to prioritize this karaoke?
Probably not. But as a karaoke fiend, I think this is great. And I'll definitely be using the feature. And also, it's a great way to learn the lyrics to songs. Like, you're just starting to listen to.
Oh, yeah. This
to.
Is going
to
put AZ Lyrics out of business.
No, AZ Lyrics could never go out of business.
Dana's going to be excited about this news.
Yeah, no. And it's like, it's nice to sing along to a song. And like, if you're not like 100% sure of the words, just to have them available.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like the beat.
I like the beat. Spotify is just constantly raising the bar, like, for everyone.
Constantly.
I'm sorry.
I mean, in breaking
music,
bread.
Breaking bread. Breaking in music, bread. In podcasting, in tech, like...
They never stop thinking about their users.
Yeah. And it's like, when I think of, like, the podcasting wars between, like, all the networks and, you know, Spotify obviously has made the most progress in the last couple of years, and it just makes me think, like, what is Apple doing?
No.
They're doing nothing.
They do nothing.
They
I
should,
don't
like,
even think
more.
There are... Apple podcasts like originals are there?
No. And like, why not? Why haven't they entered the game? Because it was so easy for them when podcasts started becoming
they
popular.
Were like, there was it by was
default,
just a podcast
by
app.
Default.
Like I didn't even realize that there was other podcasting.
Right. And so now that like all these like Amazon's getting really into podcasts, all these big like streamers are getting into podcasts, what the fuck is Apple doing with their podcast? Like a couple, maybe like a year or two ago, they launched like a Patreon thing where like you can now pay for content. It was so bad. First of all, they were taking so much money away from creators. Like I would never do it. And like, they're just doing nothing. They're giving us nothing. Like they should start doing like either buying up, like how they're buying Call Her Daddy, Armchair Expert. Like how Spotify is doing that. Amazon should be making their own shows, buying other shows. Not Amazon, sorry, Apple. And it
they're
makes
too
think,
late.
Yeah, like,
it's
what are you
too
doing?
Because even them doing the subscription model, like, that would have been great before Patreon existed. Like,
right.
Now you're just copying everyone and you're just too late and you're not as good as copying it as Facebook is.
Right.
Also, if you go to the browse page on podcasts, like, to me, the best part about Apple Podcasts are the charts. Like, those are, you can't see Spotify, I mean, people's podcast numbers.
Right.
Like, you can see followers on other platforms. Like, the only thing we have is the charts.
Right.
And Apple redesigned their Explore page a while ago, and they, like, buried the charts. And they, like, have their homepage is, like, messy, chaotic. They have all these editorial picks of podcasts that they push forward, and it's like, get this garbage out of here.
No, and it should be tailored to me, because here's what I subscribe to. Mm-hmm. Taste of Taylor, mm-hmm. The Morning Toast, Sophia with an F, The Snatchler, Caviar Dreams with Margaret, Mood, The Redheads, Hey Babe with Saul and Chris. So, like, how is a revisionist history, top scientists design their dream experiments, something I would be interested in?
Yeah.
It should be, like, targeted, and it should be tailored to things that I like. Like, I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to listen to Axios, The Cost of the Economic War with Russia.
I have revisionist history as well.
And also, like, why aren't we on the homepage? Like,
no, it's like, what are these podcasts?
And then I'm scrolling all the way down. Now I can get to the charts. I find the charts interesting because you're right. Like, when it comes to podcasts, like, you would be really surprised. A lot of the creators you follow, no matter how many, like, followers they have on certain social media platforms, that doesn't always translate to podcast listeners.
Podcasting is a great equalizer, you guys.
Yeah, so it's like they have fancy, you know, videos, and it looks like it's a really big podcast. You would be surprised that, like, literally nobody listens to their podcast. And a telltale sign of, like, a podcast that you, like, follow not being popular is, like, if they're constantly moving networks, because a network will drop a podcast that doesn't have enough views to monetize it.
Mm.
So if, like, a podcast you follow is always like, oh, I'm at a new network, now my podcast won.
Oh,
that's a telltale sign.
I don't see a lot of podcasts that, like, are constantly moving networks.
I see a couple.
But a telltale sign is how many reviews you have. It doesn't matter what the rating is, because a lot of people, like, hate review podcasts, but, like, and if you have a lot of reviews, even if they're hate reviews, like, you're making noise.
But that's literally Spotify, again, doing the most. Like, you can only review a podcast on Spotify that Spotify has literal proof and data that you have listened to a couple times.
Yeah, gorgeous.
So you can't just, like, ransack someone's page because you, like, got mad that they said something about pit bulls or whatever and then start leaving negative reviews. And Apple should adapt and steal that technology immediately.
Yeah.
It's really so smart. Simple. It's so simple. Okay.
Those are the past five stories. So go sing your heart out on karaoke.
Yeah, I will, definitely. Don't worry about me.
I'm not huge on karaoke, but once I'm there, I can get into it. I don't know.
No, it's definitely, like, not fun to do something you're not, like, great at.
Ooh, but that's the point of karaoke.
But that's why, like, I don't, like, you know, spin, you know?
Yeah.
It's not fun doing something, like, you're not really good at.
No, but to me, I sound good, and I do get into it, but it's like, then I have to listen to other people.
That is the thing.
Like, what? You're not Mariah Carey. Sit down.
Yeah, no, listening to other people is beyond painful.
It's painful. It's enjoyable to do your own. I think everyone enjoys. They feel like a star.
Even other people who have good voices, like, I don't care.
I don't give a shit. And what song did you choose?
No, like, it's so true.
Who chooses this song?
It's so fucking true.
That's my problem with karaoke. We should just do it, me and you. Everything's a duet. We'll enjoy the whole time.
Or, like, me and you, separate rooms, separate mics.
A solo karaoke. Well, now you could do that with Spotify. But it, also, the fun of karaoke is having an audience.
Of course.
So it's good. Something's good to do on your birthday. You make everyone come and make everyone listen to you. And
throw
no
yourself
one else,
a concerto.
No one else can have the mic.
I love that. We have... Those are the past five, and we're about to interview Jill Zarin, so we got to prep for that.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's anything else we have to cover.
Nope. Didn't watch any more content, didn't read any more books. New episode of The Redheads is dropping, you know, who knows when.
Sometime.
Let me know if you want it sometime. Let me know if you want it sooner rather than later, but we are recording tonight, so if you have questions about this month's book, email us, theredheadsbookclub@gmail.com. You can also ask us, like, any book questions in general. We like answering questions.
Yeah.
That's the point of the book club. So, and next month is Dana's choice, and she gave me a sneak peek of what she's choosing, and it looks like a thriller.
Ooh.
It does. It's not super Dana's choicey, because she always picks, like, very intellectual books, but this looks, like, really good and twisted.
If you're looking for more content, The Snatchler came out today, new episode. I'm on Shannon Ford's podcast, probably a podcast.
I need to finish listening. I heard you guys talk about me and say nice things, so I have to get to that part.
Yeah, all the TNN shows are updating weekly, so check that out. Check out our Patreon, and thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us more. Chelsea, five star review. But our beautiful static is where we are. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Hey, goodbye.